Hello and welcome to Ghost Bees, a horror podcast with Todd and Becca. Hi.
Hi.
Still working on it.
Yeah.
We watched The Conference from 2023. It's a slasher movie. I think you're the one who really wanted to see this. It was like popping up on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Or I should say it's directed by Patrick Eklund, who's a Swedish director, obviously. This is a very Swedish movie. A Swedish slasher, which I don't think I've ever seen before. It doesn't look like he really directed any other horror stuff, though. It looked like it's mostly comedy. And that's one of the things about this movie. I think it's advertised as like a horror comedy. I would not really refer to this as a comedy. I mean, there's some like funny elements, but it is a pretty serious slasher. Like more than I expected.
It's a serious slasher, but I still think it was funny.
Sure. But I mean, so
you didn't?
No. I mean, like, yeah, I thought it was funny, but I don't know if I'd like classify it as a comedy is all.
Okay.
You're the one who really wanted to see this, right? Because it was on Netflix. What made you want to see it so bad? Because you brought it up a few times.
I think honestly, just seeing like the poster with the title.
Oh, with the head.
Like, yeah. I just thought, I was like, oh, that looks interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause, I think I kept putting it off because I just got vibes that it would be like a mid-range Blumhouse type movie. Mm-hmm. Like it just felt that way to me. Like love Blumhouse, nothing against them, but there is a certain type of like mid Blumhouse that's just very generic, you know?
Yeah. I see what you mean.
But I think we didn't even realize it was Swedish until we started watching
yeah,
it, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize it.
And, yeah, I guess that's the thing when it comes to slashers. I think slashers are making a big comeback right now. Because mm-hmm. I think that's the other thing that's painted this for me is there's been so many just really boring, like, mid-range slashers coming out recently. And I was like, I don't know if I'm really in the mood for just another one of those. But between like movies like Thanksgiving and honestly, I think Terrifier is a big reason for this.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's really like it's changed things a bit.
I could see that.
Yeah. And I think we've definitely seen this resurgence where it's almost like people trying to be like, oh, shit, we gotta like level this up a bit if we're going to compete, you know, because it was one of the VHS movies, maybe the last one we saw that I was like, man, this got really brutal. And it feels like horror has kind of changed in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what else would it have been but Terrifier, really? I mean, it does feel like Terrifier kind of set the tone.
I feel like people are kind of divided on those movies a little bit. I am too. I didn't really like the first one. We'll probably cover that at some point. But I felt like the first one was just so cruel. And I don't know. It just didn't vibe with me. But the second one felt like it was at least trying to have a story. And it was more, I don't know, like more
fun.
I guess you could say that. I was going to say more like, I guess, inventive with the stuff. Like it felt like there was more imagination. And don't even need to say anything about the effects. Everyone knows the effects are fantastic. But it did show this kind of brutality and realism to the violence that was, I mean, it's not like it's the first one to ever do it, but it does feel like a milestone.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving. Yeah. We thought about that. We didn't get to do an episode on that. We'll probably do it around Thanksgiving time. We'll watch it again.
Yeah.
But The Conference, I mean, without spoiling things, we'll get into that in a bit. It's basically, it seems to be some kind of small town in Sweden that they're trying to like reinvent. And I think originally we thought the characters are like investors or something, but I think they're like municipality workers. And this is some big project to like revitalize the region.
Yeah.
But they kind of right away establish maybe there's something more corrupt going on. Mm-hmm. And this mysterious figure with this big, weird-looking mask. I don't know how I'd describe his getup.
I don't know. Kind of cartoon-like.
Yeah, I feel like he's some kind of mascot character. Well, this guy shows up and just starts killing them, and it's unclear like who he is or why he's doing it. And that's kind of the setup for the whole slasher part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, kind of from the get-go, the violence and like the brutality and stuff was pretty extreme, like more than I was expecting.
Oh yeah. It was definitely way more than I was expecting too.
Yeah. Like I think they just really go for this kind of realism with it that, like I said, it feels kind of fresh, you know, like compared to, like I said, I think that's part of what's happening with slashers. Cause even like even like Scream 5 and 6 kind of did that, where they made it a little more brutal and feel more real, which, I mean, even the original Screams, that's kind of what they went for. But that seems to be the big push now with modern slashers.
Yeah, I would think more movies right now have scared me than have in the past. Like,
yeah,
mostly horror, like watching horror has been like fun and like, I don't know, spooky and...
Maybe this is another way, like, the pandemic has just fucked everything up, because it's kind of, like, raised the bar. Like, look, people aren't going to be freaked out by the shit they were in the past.
Yeah.
You got to amp it up.
Yeah, I feel like, without going into detail and, like, going completely off the rails here, I do feel like Jordan Peele has a hand in that, too.
Sure. But yeah, and I mean...
generation of horror.
For sure. And, I mean, and it's Swedish, which I... can't remember the last Swedish horror movie we saw. I know there's been some, but it is interesting that it feels like this more, it's done in a more traditional style. Like I think early on I was thinking like this is a Swedish version of a Blumhouse movie. Mm-hmm. You know, but in a way that I mean, I can only compliment it on that, because I really, really like this. Mm-hmm. A great deal. It just felt very fresh and original. And not to give too much away, we'll get into that in a second, but just as a example of how the killer feels kind of different, I think one of the first kills is just someone who's just randomly chilling out in the woods, like not expecting it. And after he kills him, there's like this whole sequence of him like wrapping him up and putting rocks on him and like dunking him in the water to hide the body. And it just felt like very like... oh shit, like it's not just like hack him and leave him laying in the woods. Yeah, you see like this whole long sequence of him trying to hide it so he doesn't give the game away yet. And yeah, that really set it up as feeling like, oh shit.
Yeah.
like pretty scary.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing that I think you said it, but I was thinking the same thing during the movie. Mm-hmm. Was this has to be how like our parents felt watching Friday the 13th back in the day in theaters.
Yeah.
Because you think about that. And I mean, listen, we're old enough that when I was like 4 years old, Friday the 13th scared the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
But nowadays, those movies, like, they're still super fun to watch, but they don't have that same kind of bite. Mm-hmm. And you think back then, people were like pissing and vomiting and like running out of the movie theater during these movies, like passing out and shit. And they feel so tame now. And I think this new crop of slasher, it's like recapturing that feeling, but for a different generation.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, Jesus, like, where do we go from here? You know?
I guess just how our parents keep viewing. Maybe we're in this, like, capsule of that's what we were desensitized to.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know, but I just think it's kind of cool. I think before I mentioned that it really feels like we're in a golden era of horror, and it just like keeps solidifying with each movie we see.
I think there's always like cynical people who just want to dunk on anything. And I've seen that in the horror community, people who would not agree. It's the people who like hate on movies like Hereditary and shit. Which I'll never understand.
I don't get that.
But I feel like I agree with you. It's like a new golden age of horror where it's becoming very popular, and you're seeing people take these movies much more seriously. And we are only benefiting.
Yes,
we're eating. You ready to talk about spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to say fuck it and get right into it. I did want to say, so now that we're talking spoilers, of course the reveal is that the killer is, I guess, this farmer who, so what I gathered, you can correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. There's a farmer whose land was in this area that had to get like bought out, but they kind of screwed him over and weren't giving him any money. And I think the farmer himself winds up committing suicide over that. And this is his son getting, okay.
Yeah.
I thought first of all, I really, really like how this was handled. And I'll explain. We're kind of getting right to the end, but who cares? The one thing that was weird to me is they also set up that character who I guess was a fellow worker who like attacked the head person.
Yeah.
Like stabbed her or something. And that was like this horrible thing that happened. They keep referencing. And I think they build it up as like, oh, this is the killer. It's that guy who came back. From the beginning, I was like, oh, it's the farmer. Like, it just made sense because he was so familiar with the area and had set up the traps and everything. And when it came down to it, when she pulls the mask off and she's like, oh, you're not, what's his name, Franz?
Yeah.
She's like, you're not Franz. I was like, why did you think it was that doughy ass old white guy who they showed in that little flashback? Like, that made no sense. So that was weird. Were they really trying to build it up as like he was the killer?
I guess
And so. It was supposed to be a twist?
I guess, but that also really didn't even bother me that much.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not terrible. I just thought it was funny.
Well, yeah, I think, like, sometimes things like that can kind of give themselves away. And, you know, sometimes it does, and it's like, whatever, okay.
But I think I want to be very clear, though.
Yeah.
I don't think this was bad. It just confused me. Like, really? Would anyone think it was that guy? Because from the beginning, it made sense for it to be the farmer or his son, I guess, is who it is. Because, he set up, like, all these crazy traps all over the place, which was extra scary because it made it feel like, oh, you can't even run away.
Yeah.
Because there's traps you don't know about that are super lethal.
Yeah.
And so it made sense that he'd be more familiar with, like, working with his hands and, like, doing this stuff. But the way they handled it in the movie was so awesome because you never see his face.
Yeah.
Which you don't need to. You know who he is. So he never speaks. And like even when she takes the mask off and she has that look in her face of horror because she's like, you're not him. And they don't show who it is. She doesn't know who it is. And that moment to me was like one of the most chilling, that it was like it was someone they didn't even know who was doing this. So I thought that was actually super cool.
Yeah. I really liked it too. Like for that reason too. I think it was set up really well.
It did
for that.
I came very close to spoiling another movie. It's so hard.
What movie?
I'll say it because we can bleep it.
Yeah.
But it did make me think. I mean, like I said, we knew who the guy was, but for a second, I was like, oh, what if this is just some random guy and it's not even given away?
Uh-huh.
And they've used that in a few movies that I really like.
Yeah.
At the end of that, but also, remember that one?
Yeah.
Like, I love that concept of the killer being just some random person, and they never say who it is. So they didn't quite do that, but it still was this unnamed person. You never see his face. And that was just super chilling, especially after just how much brutality he exercised on everybody in the movie.
Yeah. And the way they like, first of all, like the cinematography and the editing are like, so good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just so impressed. There was just so much synchronicity between the two, and it really told the story well.
I think the movie looks fantastic, like, top to bottom. It's funny, because I think that's part of what turned me off in the beginning. I'd call it, like, a Netflix sheen, where it's, like, that certain budget, you know? But it's so unfair. Like, it does look really good.
It does.
It's just tough, because I think there are a lot of movies, including especially in the horror space, that have that kind of look to them, but they wind up being just mid as fuck.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kind of get by throwing money at it. But this movie backs it up. Like, it looks really good, and the content is spectacular too. Like,
and the kills are crazy.
Yes. I just can't get over how much I really like this. Like, as a slasher fan, because it's hard to find good, fun slashers, especially, you know, right now. Although, like I said, they're coming back. But yeah, the kills, I mean, I think it's the fact they really leaned into realism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the characters, I think, behave very realistically.
Yeah.
And were very scared and powerless. Because a lot of people kind of would think, You know, because they do the thing where they arm themselves and they're like, okay, if we stay as a group, and that's the smart thing you would think to do. Yeah. But the reality is when you have this cold-blooded killer who knows what he's doing coming, like they just break apart instantly and just start running. And it's like, I think that's realistic. And yeah, it's really scary.
Yeah, they did a good job like setting it up in sort of a Friday the 13th world, but without like replicating it, but also doing something new with it, which I think also worked really well.
Yeah, it totally worked all the way through. And I think a lot of the little details are what got me, because like I mentioned in the non-spoiler section, the way he hides the first body and how it's like done so meticulously and it takes so long and they focus on that. But there's also a scene later that it felt like a scene from Predator, and I bet that was an inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's when he gets hurt. So there's like a healing scene where he goes off in the woods and he's like dumping out his supplies and finding, you know, he's finding like pills or something.
Yeah, I think
like painkiller.
Yeah, something like that.
But it was funny because, that felt like the little Predator scene of him healing himself. That's like in the first two movies. So that was just, that's very cool. Like the way they characterized the killer worked super well.
Yeah. And all of his kills were like camp related. Sort of, which was so, in the best way, they're not like, they're like camp. Like it's,
right.
It works. Like the way the lady was hanging from the flagpole and he like chopped up and took a boat motor and put it in the hot tub.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty brutal. That was
crazy.
I think that's the thing, is they managed to feel realistic, because there's an easy way to set up these kills to be like really over the top and inventive just for the sake of that, but this felt, it felt real and grounded. And even when, like, there was a really chilling part early on when he's like, he's fighting with some woman, he's like fighting for her life, and all it takes is he hits her like once with a frying pan, and of course that's all it would take to take you down.
Like really grim.
But then the way the lady like finds her teeth on the carpet later, I mean, it's just, it's all those little details that are just so extreme.
The teeth, that really sent me. That was crazy. I was like, oh my god, how? Because you know, there's not a lot of slasher films that really think about, like, I guess some of the aftermath too.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure,
like really detailed aftermath.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Yeah,
and it did make me think in the movie, I mean, this is like not a new concept, and I think it's something we've talked about as far as like what got us in the horror. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of experiencing these like really extreme, frightening situations from like a safe place on your couch. It's like that taps into something weird in the human brain. That's like just very exciting. It's like a adrenaline rush, you know? So this movie just hits on all that really well. It's really fun. But that's what I'm saying, is like when they call it comedy, when it's got all that stuff in it, it's like,
we have to talk about the head scene where he runs into the wire and the way that
oh my god, yeah.
Because that was so gnarly.
Well, it's funny after I just said how like grounded this is, because the one thing I was kind of like, okay, that was a lot, but I'm with you. It's so the guy runs into the wire that like almost scalps him.
Yes.
And there's so many, that guy is such a fucking scumbag. And it's funny watching just how fucked up he gets throughout the movie. He has to get the stitches, you know, in it to keep his scalp on. We get to watch that in like painstaking detail.
Yeah, he's like super painful, and then also he's just like horrified by himself.
Yeah. But then at the end, when of course he, in full scumbag mode, he's trying to kill that one woman who was like outing his corruption, you know, and was like ready to take this stuff to the authorities, like all the scummy stuff they were doing here. And when they fight, she like fully, she not only, I was like, oh my God, she gonna scalp him? She pulls off like the top of his skull. That's when I was like, what?
Yeah, she had like her fingers like in his brain.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
So crazy.
So yeah, it's a pretty, but that's what I'm saying. Like, where's the comedy in this? Like, I think it's just, you should not go into this expecting a horror comedy.
I don't know. I think for me, I see the comedy in the ridiculous way.
Well, all these
people are getting killed. Like, it's.
But I mean, it's funny in the way Terrifier's funny. You know, like, I wouldn't call Terrifier a horror comedy. You know?
No, you really wouldn't.
So I don't know if that. I just think that some people who are looking for a horror comedy that watch this are going to be like traumatized.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of a heavier label.
Yeah, it's like horror with a little comedy on the side, yeah. I guess. But it's great. It's another fantastic slasher. See, it just kind of blew me away more than I expected.
Me too.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about it?
No, I mean, it kind of matched my excitement with it.
Yeah.
I mean, probably exceeded a little bit. But I mean, I was already, I don't know why. It was just like the way that the title was like designed and like seeing the small like clips of the show on Netflix. Like, I didn't watch a trailer, just like those little stills.
Yeah.
It just looked interesting enough. And I read the description on Letterboxd and I was like, okay.
I think it seems like it's a little underappreciated, honestly.
Yeah. I haven't heard anyone talking about this movie. I only saw it on Netflix. Yeah.
But I liked it a lot. And I would recommend it to anyone looking for a good slasher. Yeah. Even though we're talking spoilers, so you've probably already seen it if you're listening.
Yeah.
But I guess that's all. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod. And you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd. So if we're adding this to our list of definitively ranked horror movies covered on the podcast, would you put it above or below Leave the World Behind?
Maybe above.
What about Abigail?
I don't know. Abigail was really good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I'd put it right above Abigail.
Okay.
But behind Color Out of Space. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
So that means it's number 7 on the list after Color Out of Space and before Abigail. But that's it for this one.
You looked so lost for a second.
That sentence went on longer than I wanted it to. You can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com if you have other recommendations like this that might have gotten overlooked by people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.